You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So if I heard you right, and you've said this on the air already, so I'm not like breaking any news here. But if I've heard you right, you're going to be in like 2 Super Bowl commercials this year. Like last year, you had the Sabra hummus commercial.
Yes.
With Charli D'Amelio of TikTok, whose celebrity has only grown in the last year after being a part of a commercial with you. You clearly just skyrocketed her career while endorsing her during that Sabra commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you said that you're going to be in at least one,
well,
right?
I mean, you know, the commercials may not they're probably going to be shown in the pregame shows.
Oh, lame.
So I don't necessarily know if one of them will make it into the Super Bowl itself, maybe right at the beginning of the Super Bowl, right before the game starts, maybe.
I mean, it's a little embarrassing that you've gone from like an actual Super Bowl ad to a pregame show ad.
It's embarrassing, all right.
I would say that that's probably, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd be ashamed. I mean, I would, Al, would
actually,
you go?
I'm doing both of them with my alter ego, Phil Simms.
Oh, wow. Look at you guys. Yes. You would say probably he went from cool last year to not cool this year, right, Al?
Well, unless there's some young talent in there. Like
buzz, no
that
buzz.
We don't, yeah, that we don't know about.
Okay, Boomer.
Oh yeah,
Boomer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Boomer.
I would say I haven't done the other one yet. I will do that one relatively shortly.
Okay.
The one I did do, I think I really can't say the
companies. That's fine.
Yeah, I can't say
that's
that
fine.
Yet.
Okay, don't say.
I think it's going to be pretty funny, actually.
Okay.
So especially for the people around here.
Oh. Okay. So it's going to be a local based type of commercial.
Well, I mean, because they know me and Phil.
Okay.
I mean, like, I think people that watch our pregame show and stuff know us, and they know the banter back and forth, and Phil got a shot into me right at the last second.
He died, the popcorn shot yesterday.
He got me real good yesterday, and I didn't really have a chance to get back at him. So I will have 4 hours on Super Bowl Sunday, and believe you me, I will come loaded for bear.
Okay, very good. So, all right, 2 pregame Super Bowl commercials.
Yes.
Can we get you into the actual game commercials?
Maybe. There's a chance.
There is a chance.
There's a chance.
All right, good. Although last year, you know, we saw a version of your Sabra commercial.
It was lame. Very disappointing.
And the, well, hold on. So the
how many commercials have you been in there?
No, not you. The Captain fact that Kirk? What they edited out.
Oh, right, right. Yes, this is what I was going to say. Yeah, okay. We jumped the gun on that one.
All right.
So the one that you showed us was like, great.
Yes.
I was super excited to see it. It was like a big deal. And then the one that actually ran.
They edited.
Yeah, they cut your part out of it big time. There wasn't even the OK Boomer part.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
OK Boomer?
Boomer?
Yeah.
OK
Who knows?
Boomer?
Somebody at the ad agency probably felt like that was going to be insulting to.
Oh, that demographic tends to spend
boomers.
Money.
Who knows? Yes. I have no idea.
Well, but that, I mean, that's just your name, though, you know, so it's a double entendre.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
One of those things.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, I'll look forward to those. It's all right. It's kind of cool that it's a pregame commercial and you're going to be on the pregame and like halftime and postgame and
true,
stuff.
Yeah.
But like, it's not quite as cool as actually being.
I think it's great, actually. I think it's great that CBS and these different entities are using a lot of the CBS talent now.
Yeah.
Which is good, which is hasn't really been the case in the past.
Sure. So when are we leaving again to go down there? So there's no Radio Row at all.
There is not. So what's going to happen is I will go down on Thursday before the Super Bowl. I'll do this show.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning from the hotel, and then I think most likely Monday morning I'm going to stay down there and do the show from there on Monday morning after the Super Bowl and then come back.
So like Super Bowl media day and Super Bowl opening night and these things, it's going to be Zoom sessions.
What about the award ceremony, sir?
Just like it was last night. Oh, I think that's all virtual. I think all of that stuff is virtual. And I know that a lot of our interviews for both of the teams for CBS will be most likely done from the broadcast center up here on 57th Street at some point in time over the next 2 weeks.
So I'd love to know this, and maybe you do know this. But so on one hand, you've got such a great matchup. It's Brady and Mahomes. I mean, Chiefs and Bucks storylines out the wazoo. But you also have, COVID Super Bowl is basically what we have.
Yep.
So you can't have a full stadium. You can't have Radio Row. You can't have the pomp and circumstance. You can't have any of that stuff. But to CBS, does it matter that much? Because really what we're talking about is eyeballs on televisions. And eyeballs on television still exist in COVID world.
That's right.
Which means ad dollars. So, is it that much of a huge deal that this is COVID Super Bowl for CBS?
Well, the other aspect of having the Super Bowl on CBS is you get to entertain all your clients and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
So there's a lot
right.
of that stuff that's missing now.
Yeah.
And it's really just a straight broadcast. It's, show up. Get ready to go. Here's your script. Here's what we're doing. And there's very little time for rehearsal. There's going to be a lot of the stuff's going to be on the fly, which is I like it. It's a lot of fun. Like yesterday's show for us, because we started later, the other game is still going on. A lot of it is free flowing.
Yeah.
And then Drew Kalisky, our producer, has got to make all sorts of different adjustments as the show is going on. Got to post-game adjustments because of timing and ceremonies and all this other stuff. So it's just kind of a different way of doing things, but it keeps it fresh.
Yeah, so I am going to make a prediction that this week, well, not this week, but next week of Sports Talk Radio could be the worst of all time, because you're going to have no Radio Row, and what you're going to have is these interviews are still going to happen because still people want to pump products, and they're going to be on horrible cell phones as opposed to actually being in person. So the Radio Row interviews normally aren't great anyway, but you're in person. We try to have more fun with it, whatever. But you still have people that are pumping these products and whatever. Now you're going to not have any of that, and you're going to have bad cell phones and people sitting in a room for hours on end doing one after another. I mean, Al, does it not have the potential to just be the stone worst week of all time?
Yeah, I can tell you this too. Worse than a cell phone connection, a lot of them want to do them on Zoom. So you know that everyone's using the microphone that's built into their iPad. That sounds terrible.
Not good. We're not doing those, are we, Al?
No, we're not doing
those.
Thank you.
Yeah, there was.
Put your foot down, Al.
Oh, I did. I put it right on
the
floor.
We're just doing normal shows, right, Al?
Yeah, normal shows, right, Al?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So there was one guy who was pitched to us, Dak Prescott, right? Wasn't he pitched
to
us?
Yeah, we're working on that one. Potentially, if it's a big-name current player that's not boring, we will discuss.
And is that for the mattress that he's humping on TV with Tracy Wolf?
Wait, what? He's humping mattresses?
The sleep number?
Oh, the sleep number. Yeah, that's also a Kirk Cousins one as well, the sleep number. He loves that sleep number. Sleep number and pepperoni grill. That's what he does.
That just bothers you.
Yeah, because he posted it once after a loss, because I think that he had to. He was contractually obligated to be after the game, I take my family to Pepperoni Grill. And they had just gotten their asses kicked, and then it was him putting a mozzarella stick in his mouth, and he's hey, it was hashtag ad, and I just lost my mind.
Mozzarella stick in his mouth.
Yeah, right. All right, who do you want to go to here? You want to go to Fridge?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, how about Fridge in Staten Island? What's going on, Fridge?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
All right, Fridge, what's going on?
Quick thing. Let me ask you a question. Yesterday, do you think that you – I don't know. I seen Josh. It looked like he had about, five or six plays where he should have just – he could look – he could have just took.
You're talking about running with the ball?
Yeah, running with the ball.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. Is it just me or, is it different angles? I was sitting there watching the game, and I'm like, I don't know why he's just hanging out in the back looking for more of a pocket pass when the whole year, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, he just ran. And he just stayed in the pocket. And I think that's why he had a lot more sacks for him, and that's what killed him.
Yeah, so Boomer would be able to answer this better than me there, Fridge, since he played the position in the NFL. But one of the things that we have talked about with Josh Allen this year as opposed to other years was that he did stay in the pocket. He did make those decisions. That's what elevated his game, as opposed to him running out of control, taking the easy way out, putting himself in situations to get hurt or maybe fumble the ball. So You know, I think that we'll go back to Steve Spagnuolo and his idea of how to stop Josh
Allen.
Especially
in the first half.
Right.
But the second half, he did start running more.
He did, yeah.
And he made a lot of plays. He took the bad sack. He had the unfortunate interception that came off the hands of John Brown. It probably should have been caught. But they just need more speed on offense. Like, you see what, you know, when Tyreek Hill gets the ball, it's ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that 70-yard catch and run was insane. I can't believe
he got
caught.
See how fast he is. It's just impossible to cover the guy.
Yep.
And it's going to be a long afternoon for the secondary of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it should be a high-scoring game, but that is going to be, you know, he's worth the price of admission. That's how good he is on the football field. I know he's not a great person off the field, or hasn't been, but, you know, on the football field, man, he is a game changer the moment the ball gets into his hands.
James in Glen Rock. What's up, James?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, James.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, well, we're almost in February, but that's okay. Go ahead, James.
I haven't talked to you. Calling about yesterday, Kansas City had the shuttle pass to Kelce, and in the huddle, and Boomer, you might have noticed this, in the huddle, Kansas City made the play call, and as soon as they were going to break the huddle, one of the linemen or one of the players, like, kind of patted Kelce on the head, like, all right, you're going to get the ball. I picked it up. I was like, he's getting the ball. Did you notice that?
I personally did not notice it, no, and it'll be something that, you know, if there is a tendency or something like that, you may be able to find something on the tapes, on the TV tapes. I don't think Tony Romo noticed it either. But we all know that when they get inside the red zone down there, they end up doing a lot of different things to get the ball across the line of scrimmage. That's one thing we do know. There's movement all over the place. There's motion. I know Tony kept calling it eye candy yesterday. That's, you know, how you would describe it, but I think it's just because you have this cooler than cool quarterback that you can do anything with back there. That's why you have all this creativity.
Yeah. So we've seen that before. I don't think it's been exactly like that underhand thing, or maybe it was, but we've seen that.
We've seen a bunch of it. We've seen it actually on the other side too.
But now one of the things that was out there was, you know, Eric Bieniemy is the one who designs all that red zone stuff. Like, they kept saying that, like, because, you know, Eric Bieniemy is the guy who everybody says, well, Andy Reid's calling the plays, and how much does he really do? Well, it's like been put out there, at least in the Eric Bieniemy press releases,
yeah,
I guess, that he designs these plays down at the goal line. So it's not like he's just, you know, there for the ride.
I know Jason LaCamfora reported yesterday for us that it's either going to be Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy going to Houston.
And that may or may not make Deshaun Watson want to stay there. Now, Pro Football Talk said it doesn't matter because it's really the ownership that he's mad at, and that's not changing. So, you know, I don't know. We will see. Let's go to Jimmy in Philly. What's going on, Jimmy?
How you doing?
Hey.
I just wanted to see what's the impact on, like, Budweiser, Pepsi, Coca-Cola taking their commercial spots out of the Super Bowl, and what does that do for CBS?
I think we're almost totally sold out right now. You know, we were actually going over some of the stuff yesterday. I'm not a part of the sales team, but I know that they're continually working. I will say that it does help that I would think Tom Brady's in this game.
Oh, yeah. I think that if you were somebody who was on the fence about advertising and you see this matchup, now no longer you're on the fence. You're saying, hey, I'm buying into this. Because this is going to be, and if it turns out being a good game too, on top of the matchup and the storyline, it's going to do just an amazing rating.
Yeah, the two, Aaron Rodgers is there, and so is Josh Allen. They're all stars. They're top five stars in the league, but you got the top two, and you got the great storyline of Tom Brady going from the Patriots to Tampa Bay, going against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, and they've had great games against each other before.
So I do want to just say, so the Pro Football Talk thing that I read with Deshaun Watson, that was actually, it is up on Pro Football Talk, but it was a Chris Mortensen report, and it's a quote that Watson wants out of Houston, and that won't change regardless of who the Texans hire to be their next head coach.
He wants to go to either Miami or the Jets. That's where he wants to go. Now it's up for the Jets and Miami to get into a bidding war and figure out what it's going to take to get him. And then it really comes down to whether or not Miami thinks Tua is the guy. They may have soured on Tua. Who knows?
Yeah.
And if they have soured on Tua, that means I don't know if Houston is high on him or Houston likes one of these other young quarterbacks coming out of the draft this year.
I mean, they probably don't want to trade Deshaun Watson. I mean, that would be my guess, that they probably would rather keep him because, you know, it just stuff like this doesn't happen with a guy who's that good at that age who is available via trade. I mean, it's not a common thing.
I know one thing. They need Deshaun Watson to say that he wants out of there. You know, kind of like Matthew Stafford and the Lions are doing.
He's playing both sides. What he's doing is he's dipping his toes.
He wants to be like – he doesn't want the Texan fan thinking that he's leaving them.
Right. What he's doing is he is getting that message out without him saying it. So then if he does get traded, everybody turns on the Texans organization and not him. I think that's what –
that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Who knows?
If you don't want to be there, then just say it.
Sure.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Dream of a nice summer, a close to normal stretch like we had this past summer. Maybe lots of people vaccinated. I did see, though, that at least in New York State, that it could take on this current path, even if it improves just a little bit.
No, this is going to sound great.
All the way to the end of June just to get group 1 and 1A vaccinated.
Well, there's a lot of people living here, man. And, you know, just remember who manufactures this stuff. It's private companies that manufacture it. They're the ones that got to keep making it, and they got to make a lot more of it. And now it looks like Johnson & Johnson is going to get FDA approval on their vaccine. So you will have three companies, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, that will all be making vaccines. You know, this doesn't happen overnight. And the manufacturing part of it doesn't come out of the federal government. Only the payments to the private manufacturers come out of the federal government.
But you've said many times that this should be moving a little bit smoother as far as who's getting this thing, how quick they're getting
it.
Well,
I think their priorities are a little whacked. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to give it – like I always ask Gunner, because Gunner is obviously affected. He has the comorbidity. He has numerous organs involved in all the different things that go on with cystic fibrosis. So I just say, like, you know, he's pretty practical about it. Doesn't get over-emotional about it and takes care of himself. He goes, Dad, look, I get it, man. You know, I don't live in – he doesn't live in New York anymore. But I get it. If I were in New York, you know, I know the MTA workers have to have it.
Sure.
Teachers have to have it that are teaching in person.
Yep.
You know, the frontline workers at the hospitals have to have it. The older people who are living in nursing homes have to have it. The staff at those nursing homes have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands all of that. Where he gets a little bit confused is how people that do have comorbidities, like somebody like Gunner, or other people that have lung problems can't get on that list, but yet there is a, you know, college professor who is teaching from home, remotely teaching, and is not going to class, and they're getting it, and he's not, and his group of people are not getting it. That's where
it's frustrating.
And, and there are so many people that are frustrated for different reasons because of it. I mean, there's a reality of who should get it first. And I think our older population should get it first without question, anybody over 65, and our frontline workers. And, you know, that could go to a supermarket worker too, by the way. You know, a supermarket checkout person, you know, who is constantly involved with people coming through the stores.
I went back to the supermarket yesterday. Had a lot more success this time.
All right, good for you.
I knew everywhere everything was, in and out of there. It was amazing.
The more you do it, the more you'll get used to it.
Oh, yeah. I did not have the crippling anxiety that I did the first time I went a couple weeks ago.
But yes. The thing that's really annoying is that we've been living in political theater now for at least a year, and we'll probably go on for another year or two, depending on, you know, decisions that are made for different reasons. It's just people are dying, and people have died. When, you know, in actuality, maybe that shouldn't be the case if you really look at it very closely. On both sides, too, by the way. It's not just one side. It's both sides. And it's really a disgrace. It really is.
All right. Jerry Recco is going to take us out of this disgraceful conversation. Yes. Right back into the sports yesterday in the championship games. What's up, Jerry?
Morning. Brought to you by Bruni and Campisi, home comfort and efficiency company serving Westchester, Fairfield, Rockland, and Putnam counties.
Second down and 10. They will shift Darrell Williams to the backfield to the left of Mahomes. Receivers left. Mahomes slings it over the middle. Caught by Hill. Makes a move upfield to the 40. 35. Another cut. 50. And there goes Hill, off and running. Tyreek Hill could go. Hill inside the five, finally brought down by the safety, Micah Hyde.
And that is Ian Eagle, Westwood One on the Fan. Wasn't the clip I was planning on playing, but, well, what the hell.
You know what's great about this play, though, Jerry?
Yeah.
This is the great thing about football. It's just watching an incredible athlete take off and watching other guys try to block for him out in front, and then a whole nother bunch of guys trying to tackle him and catch him from behind, and decision he's making as he's running. And that's why he's the most exciting player in the game with the ball in his hands.
That's what earlier even Al was saying, and I think he's right. It's like he had an extra gear yesterday. I mean, he was just racing up and down that field.
Nate, you got to find this, Al. Somewhere you got to find this, because Nate Burleson showed me this yesterday. It's a Tyreek Hill workout video where he is like, you know, he's got one of those rope bands where the guy's behind him holding him.
Okay.
And, you know, he's running in place. And he actually, you know, I guess moves like 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, 8, 9. And then when he gets to 10 yards, he really starts pumping his legs. And you cannot believe that a human being can move their legs that fast up and down as fast as he's moving them.
Eddie Scazzeri.
No, not a chance.
Resistance band, is that the word?
Yeah, I guess he's got a resistance band. Yeah, so okay. Al, see if you can find that.
I think I found it. I'll check and to make sure it's the one.
It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in terms of how this guy can move his legs that fast.
If you could, just please don't tweet the video. Just write about it if you could.
Yeah, write about it.
That would be good. Here was Andy Reid. So. So it'll be the Chiefs and the Bucks in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes is going to see Tom Brady and vice versa. He says this is fitting.
You remember when Tom came into the locker room after the championship game and talked to Patrick, and Patrick responded like, you know, a young guy would respond to the GOAT.
Yeah, he did. 325 yards passing yesterday, 3 touchdowns. Pretty impressive. And Hill had 9 catches for – how about Hill and Kelsey combined for 22 catches for 290 yards.
Like, generally, you go into these games, you say you got to take one of those guys out. The Bills said, no, we're just going to let both of them just run wild, and we'll take our chances.
It's really amazing, some of these numbers, for sure. Here was Mahomes. So he had the concussion. He had the toe injury. Yet, when it came game time, no physical issues for him.
I felt good from the warm-ups on. We did a good job as far as rehabbing, getting myself ready to go, and I feel like I was myself out there, and we were able to go out there and score points and find a way to win against a really good football team.
And, Eddie, don't play anything over this, because more's coming up in moment of the day. This was Reed afterwards talking about Mahomes and, you know, what he's done to get himself right. But more than that, he's just a good human being.
I'm proud of the way he handles it most of all, though. He doesn't, you know, you guys aren't writing stories of this guy's got a big head, this and that, you know, he's showing people up, and no, he's about the team and he's all in, and he works his tail off, and, you know, he does it the right way.
That is your guy, Boomer, Patrick Mahomes. Here is Sean McDermott. They're going home to Buffalo. I don't know. I didn't see anything. My guess would be there were a lot of fans probably waiting for them because they had a great season, the Bills did. Here was McDermott talking about going for field goals instead of touchdowns, and he was asked, did he think about, you know, attempting to score as opposed to settle for the 3?
Yeah, Heather, I did. I thought about it in both occasions, really, and you know, maybe, you know, if I had to go all over again, I would have went for maybe one of them. But the one before the half, for sure, I wanted to get points.
And that made it a 21-12 game. And then the one he's talking about, I think, is in the middle of the third quarter, inside the 10. He kicked another field goal to make it whatever it was. Here's Josh Allen. He takes a lot of the blame for this loss.
I didn't perform well enough to help this team win a game tonight. And scoring 24 points against this team usually doesn't do it.
Allen was 28 of 48, 287 yards, couple of touchdowns, and a pick, but their season is indeed over as the Chiefs do advance. Now, we told you that the Bucs won. They wound up beating the Packers 31-26. Arguably, the biggest play of the game came right before the half. The Bucks had a 4th and 5, had the ball at the 45-yard line, I believe it was, of Green Bay. They bring the punting unit out with, I guess it was 13 seconds, 15 seconds, something like on that on the clock. Then they decide to go for it. They run one play, and then they run a second play.
Running back block, winds up long pass down the near side, caught for a touchdown, falling in the end zone, Scotty Miller. The Buccaneers have scored!
Yeah. Kevin Harlan fired up Westwood One on the fan. And then they would score again early third quarter after a turnover by Green Bay, and the game just completely swung. That having been said, Packers had chances, and they had a chance late. They didn't score. They settled for 3 with 2:05 left, and then they never get the ball back, and that's the way that thing ends. Here was Matt LaFleur not going for it and kicking the field goals, asked to discuss.
The way I was looking at it was, we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI.
And they did. We're holding
so let's say he makes a stop.
Yeah.
And they get the ball back. And Rodgers goes down and leads them for the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, you still needed a touchdown.
Yeah, but the point being, this time it's not just a touchdown. Now it's the game-winning touchdown, and you don't have to worry about a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, but what if?
Yeah, I know.
They don't get the ball back.
But all I'm saying is that's why he made that decision.
It's like, a bad one.
I think
you said it was a bad one. You said it was
a
bad one.
But I'm just saying, every coach has a reason. I thought he was really into the game yesterday. He made a bunch of different things happen in the midst of the game, and even after that decision, they jumped off sides on purpose to sync up the downs with the timeouts and all those different things. So he was into the game. He just made a decision based on...
He stinks?
On,
yeah, he just made
no.
a horrendous...
What did Gunner say? Did he talk to him or no?
What's that?
What did Gunner think?
Well, he's like all of us. They should have stayed down there. They should have won for him. If they didn't get it, then their defense would have had them backed all the way up, maybe get a turnover, maybe something else happens.
He stinks.
But
they
you're still going to have to score a touchdown and score a 2-point conversion to tie the game.
Well, yeah, had they not done the stupid 2-point conversion
so
earlier.
So if they had 1 timeout left, there's no way he's going for it. There's no question.
All right, Bulls would be my aunt.
Right. So he had the 2-minute warning, and he had 3 timeouts. That's why he did what he did.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that's why he did. I'm not saying that's
right.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, we heard him say it. It's still stupid.
Listen, everybody's got a reason for making the decisions they make. Doesn't mean they're right.
We all just disagree, but it's bigger than that. You know, Aaron Rodgers, with all that room to run on third down, is a big issue here,
too. That's him.
Right, I know. I mean, it's not just that decision, but when we're analyzing that decision, it's just not smart.
Terry Collins gave you many reasons why he left Matt Harvey in that game.
Right.
And you'll still to this day bury him for it, but he had his reasons.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I don't know. It sounded like there were 56,000 people who wanted Matt Harvey to stay in
that game. That's one of his reasons.
That's exactly
right.
That's
why he's sitting with them now.
But Jerry's point still holds. It's like everybody's got a reason for a bad decision, but this is so did Matt LaFleur. He had his reasons for a bad decision. Still a bad decision. One of the worst I've seen.
Here was Bruce Arians. He was the opposite and going for it at the end of the half.
When it come here to not take chances to win the game.
Oh, they took chances and they won the damn game.
It sounded like he wanted to say F around, but then he stopped.
When it come here to not take chances to win the game.
He definitely caught himself with that one.
You might be right.
I wonder if he had to be talked into taking that chance at the end of the first half.
Maybe, because obviously you saw that they had a different idea. They were going to punt the football there at one point.
Yeah, he sent out the punting. Yeah. Well, maybe Tom Brady said, wait a minute, time out here for
a second. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, you're not in charge here.
Let me coach the team right now.
Yeah. What Aaron Rodgers should have done.
It's true.
Meantime, I want to go back real quick. So Bucks and Chiefs, Super Bowl 55 next Sunday, the 7th of February. I want to go back to one from Reed that I found when I was going through his press conference. Now, is this just being cocky? Is this him being cocky? Did he catch himself? This is where they were asking him about falling behind again in a playoff game like they did against Tennessee.
We can score quickly if needed. And, I mean, you know, we always want to score. That sounds bad. I mean, but
I mean, he's telling you, like, we feel like no problem. We can score.
No, that's not him being cocky. That's just him with a fair assessment of his team.
Well, I happen to agree with him.
Yeah.
I just found that amusing. You don't? Fair enough. No. We move on.
Okay.
Okay. Yankees acquire Jameson Taillon or Talon or Talion.
Taillon.
No, I know. What Al called him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
Talion.
Right. Yeah, Taillon.
From the Pirates for four prospects. And the Nationals get Brad Hand, one-year deal, $10 million. I don't think it's signed yet, but the two sides have agreed to it, and I have not seen any reporter refute that yet. So looks like that will stay. Late last night in Portland, the Knicks lost to the Blazers, 116-113. Big games, though, from Julius Randle and Emmanuel Quickly. Here's Tom Thibodeau. His team was down big at the break. Tried to come back, just couldn't get all the way back.
I thought our fight in the second half was obviously a lot better than the first half. And so we have to make sure that we play with an edge. We have to come out ready to go.
Yeah, okay. Damian Lillard had 39. Carmelo Anthony had 12, although he was 3 of 14 shooting for Portland. They do get the win. Tonight, Nets and Heat. We'll have it for you on the Fan at 7:15. Rangers fell to the Penguins 3-2, had a 2-1 lead in the third, couldn't hold it as Pittsburgh scored early in the third, and then a Jake Gensel goal. I think it was his 100th of his career.
Yeah.
Turned out to be the
go-ahead
goal.
Good time for it. I mean, you feel good for that kid, don't you? 100 goals, you know, game winner. So I thought it was just a tremendous moment for the Gensels, the family, actually, the entire
tremendous
family.
Tremendous moment for the Gensels.
Well, it was a great moment for the Gensels. I hope he keeps that puck.
And the Devils shut out the Islanders 2-0. The Devils 3-1-1 through the first five games of the season. And Rutgers won on the road at Indiana by 4. Time now for Moment of the Day. And a lot of conversation from the Sunday football, as you can imagine, and, of course, the post-game reaction, starting with Frank Clark.
I think we heard a few weeks back Chase Young say that he wants Tom Brady. He wants Tom. You have a message for the GOAT headed into the Super Bowl?
Nah. I ain't got nothing to say to him. I'll see his ass on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
I'll see his ass.
I'll see his ass. Now, I think these are the clips you wanted from Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Talking about Patrick Mahomes.
I sit there, and I'm an old guy that's seen a couple of pretty good quarterbacks, and I just keep going. This guy seems to amaze me a little bit more every game.
Not only relax, Boomer. Not only on the field, but off the field as well.
I'm proud of the way he handles it. He doesn't, you know, you guys aren't writing stories about this guy's got a big head, this and that. You know, he's showing people up, and you know, he's about the team, and he's all in. And he works his tail off. You know, he does it the right way.
Oh, my God. Come up for air. Jeez.
Moment of the day.
Yeah. You know what my favorite part about that is it's one singular sound, and then it turns into a chorus of boomers doing that. Like, it starts with, oh, and then it's like 16 boomers go. There it is.
And he's a master on the comm.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
And I did watch that reincarnation thing that Al told me about, and also Night Stalker on Netflix, which is a serial killer documentary. I do have one more episode to go. I was aware of the Night Stalker and Richard Ramirez prior to this documentary, so I knew about him, having, you know, watched and, I guess, learned about serial killers. But, Al, I guess Richard Ramirez, if you're ranking these serial killers, he's got to be up there as one of the worst of all time because of the way that he basically, I mean, it was all sorts of people that he was messing around with in all sorts of ways for a long period of time and basically had that whole area gripped in fear.
Yeah, he was very hard to catch because there was no pattern of the type of people that he was killing, when he was killing, where he was doing it. He was all over the place.
Yeah.
The only thing that made him easier to recognize is that he supposedly stunk so bad because he never showered. And he had a rotten mouth full of teeth.
Yeah.
Terrible teeth.
Man, I was thinking back on those cops. There was a couple opportunities they had to catch him, and then it just everything was blown. But, like, how hard is it to catch a serial killer at that time? Or how hard was it to catch a guy at that time with no DNA evidence that you could use?
And then he would also, he wasn't a guy who went in prepared to kill people. He would use what was in the people's house.
Yeah.
So he didn't come with his own weaponry or things to tie people up. He would use things he found in their home.
It's insane. Absolutely.
And then he would hang out there afterwards.
And then he went off to San Francisco. It was all happened in L.A. Yeah. And he went to San Francisco and then came back. I mean, just absolute insanity. But I don't know if, Boomer, if you're into Night Stalker, what you're watching these days.
Well,
but,
I mean, Al, did you see that... a guy by the name of Levi Belfield got COVID-19 vaccinated over in the UK, and he's like the UK's most notorious serial killer.
And he got the COVID vaccine?
Yeah, yeah, I know. Just put the guy to death, man. Why don't you just death penalty his ass?
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
I mean, if you wanted to test out different things on him, I'm for that. But why to give him the one we know is good.
Test things out
on him. Right, yeah. Yeah. Experiment, like a lab rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, I'm sure they wanted to give it to him because he's in a congregate setting, and if he gets it, then he can pass it to everybody else. But, again, it's a national scandal over there.
Oh, it is? That this guy got it?
Yeah, but I'm not watching these things. You know, I did watch a good movie, though.
Yeah?
Apple TV movie.
Okay.
It's called The 12th Man.
About the Seahawks?
No, it has nothing to do with football. It has everything
I would love to
do.
Watch that.
Yeah. Get this, though, Al. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. This is about 12 saboteurs that are Norwegian, that are trained by the English army to go and basically upset the German occupation of Norway.
Wow.
And it's a story of survival. It's an amazing story, and it's an amazing movie. And it actually starts out by saying the most amazing part of this movie are the true stories that we're telling here and how true they are and how accurate they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is right up your alley. Norwegians, World War II, 12th man. Sounds like football was one of these guys a quarterback too.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
But it was. It's an amazing, amazing movie.
I would never be able to follow that. I could tell you right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know what was going on.
Yeah, you would. You would.
I can't comprehend that stuff.
Yeah, Norwegian saboteur.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, no. It sounds like
I'm not interested.
I can get into World War II.
But it's not like you don't see tanks rolling in and all that other crap.
Oh, okay.
It's basically it's a story of survival and what this one of the 12 went through to survive his whole ordeal, and it's remarkable when you think back in the 40s that a guy would end up doing this and how he had to do it and how he got through it all.
Yeah,
it's remarkable. It's like I said, a true story. So it's great, Al. You should, if you like true stories, Al. This is
I'm not interested.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. That one might be a tough one for me.
You can reincarnated watch these kids. Dopey things about these serial killers.
Oh yeah. No, I'm into that too. A lot of people are, man. That's why it's number two on the Netflix list. Everyone wants to see that stuff.
I just can't get into that creepy crap.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just fascinating. Humans can be capable of that. And then I think number one on the list on Netflix is a series that I would never watch. Like it's some English thing, Bridgerton or something. Like I couldn't get away from that thing faster. I don't even care what the reviews on that were. People thought it was. I just saw some like English drama. I don't even know what time period
actually,
it was set in.
Reading about it the other day.
Bridgerton?
Yeah, and they were saying how, maybe you and Gina might like it.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Oh, yep.
Oh, it's a...
It's a lot of sexiness in there.
Oh, there's...
Well, sexy time.
I will say we did just watch a show that had an enormous amount of sex in it.
Okay.
That took me by surprise. It was it's called A Teacher, and it's on Hulu, and it's got Kate Mara in it.
Uh-huh.
And she's a teacher who ends up having a relationship with one of her students.
Oof.
Who's a 18-year-old high school student, and she had, the guy's like 26 in real life, what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. So it was a movie, and then they turned it into a series.
True story?
No, not a true story. Although this happens, it's not a true story. I mean, it's like every 5 seconds. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, it's like, here they are. What are you doing today? Next, in the car, and then we'll go to some hotel, and this is happening, and then she's, it's a lot. I was thinking, she is someone who's, Mara family. She's a Rooney and a Mara.
She's an actress.
She's an actress. She is, right.
So but they boy. Act.
Yeah, but this was like.
Right on the line. I mean, she's good at what she does.
Well, let me tell you something. I looked up her husband. I was like, I wanted to see if she was married or what was going on, because the husband had to have an issue with this.
I would say that's part of their lifestyle and what they got to deal with.
I had a lot of sex in this movie.
Mm. You go away for 6 months on one of those movies and you're in those scenes.
Well, that's what happened, though, with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie when he was with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
It's like she goes away and does this with this young guy who's, 15 years younger than she is. And every scene, the two of them are rubbing up against one another. It's like, You know what?
Could you imagine if you're doing a movie with Al and you guys are rubbing up against each other a lot?
No, I don't think that that would happen. Yeah, I don't think that Al and I are doing the Brokeback Mountain 2. But Kate Mara, actually, when We Are Marshall came out, which was the Matthew McConaughey movie about the Marshall football team and the plane crash, she was in that movie. She came into the studio in Astoria, the WFAN studios, to promote that. I forget. I think she might have gone on. I don't think
Dimas?
It was. No, I don't. I think it might have been in the afternoon because Dog was like a, he was like obsessed with that movie.
Okay.
For whatever reason. So she came on and also the whole football connection as well. And I remember her walking through the newsroom after leaving her interview, and like all of us were just, you know, the sound we just heard in Moment of the Day.
Yes.
You know, like all, and she walks out and she was so nice and she said hi to all of us. She's like, oh, hi, guys. And it's like, you know, me and Sal Licata and Monzo and Moose. And we're just like, whoa, whoa. I was like, oh, you know, just farting and trying to, like, you know, nervously sweating. And it's like this beautiful woman is just, like, floating through the newsroom where there's urine stains on the ceiling. And we're just these chairs that got, like, mucus stains on them and everything. I was just thinking, she's got to leave this place and go straight and take a shower. Like, she's probably totally disgusted by this.
You got to remember the family she grew up in, though, so she's been around all this.
No, I understand, but I just remember that going, what a juxtaposition to, like, Kate Mara and the royalty and the actress to all of us in the newsroom sitting around, you know, Ray Martell drinking out of a supersized Diet Coke, you know, just like this
Kate
Mara.
This is McRibs.
Yeah, right, eating a McRib. Anyway, if you like a show with a lot of sex, a teacher.
Perfect.
Quickly, let me get Dan and Carter. He's been holding on for a while, and I'm afraid if we don't go to him, he's going to mail me a dead bird or something. Dan, good morning. What do you got for us?
Oh, very funny. Good morning. Boopa.
Dano, what's up, brother?
I want to go to Tampa 2 Giannotti.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely. I would love to go down there. What do you got, Dan?
What's up? I'm late to the party with this, and you just covered it during the Jerry's update. So I guess I'm in the minority with me thinking the Packers definitely should have kicked it on fourth and not have went for it, because my opinion is they go for it on fourth and they're unsuccessful. Now they got to stop the Bucs, score a touchdown, convert a two-point conversion. They're only putting themselves in a position to tie it by kicking the field goal. They can stop them, score a touchdown. They're up by one. Now they're, you know, they put themselves in a position to win. And then if there's enough time left, obviously they go for the 2-point conversion then to put themselves up by three, because you can never count out if there's 54 seconds left. Brady can get down the field and in field goal position, giving the Bucs a chance to tie it, to send it into overtime.
And that's exactly what Matt LaFleur was saying at the end of the game.
Anybody who disagreed with Matt LaFleur yesterday can rest their case, because the only person who agreed with that call that I have heard in the hours and hours that this happened, since this happened, is Dan and Carteret.
I think he explained it correctly, though.
Yeah, but it's still a bad
call. That's why Matt LaFleur did what he did.
Matt LaFleur and Dan and Carteret dying on the same hill. Interesting.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.